Let's pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hunger for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today and in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 21st through the 29th verses. Hear now the word of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Today we're concluding our series of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5 through 7. The title has been Building Your House Upon the Rock, and it comes from this scripture. And I guess that we need to start with the question, does Jesus have any authority in your life? That's the question. Now, in times past, I have given you what all, remind you of what I preached about, and I'm kind of going to do that. But I'm not going to do it, really. I'm going to talk about the things I didn't talk about. Try something new. See if this works. The Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who are spiritually poor, poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's those people who come before God empty-handed. They know that they have nothing about them, and nothing of their life can gain them acceptance of God. They know it. And Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. And those who mourn because of their spiritual bankruptcy, they shall be comforted. And it goes on from there. We begin, as you look at this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this about the law. I did not come to condemn the law. I came to fulfill the law. And then we see a list of some of the commandments. They're not all the commandments. He might have used all the commandments. But by the time we get through all of the Sermon on the Mount, we will have to deal with every one of the commandments. And so he began with this thing about the commandments. He begins with murder. Murder is not murder. Murder is something else. If you are angry with your brother, you stand in judgment. Oh, no. How about you? Oh, no. My brother and I fought like cats and dogs. I have not been the most pleasant person to live with every moment of every day. My wife has spoken evil of me before. Just as we've all had to deal with anger, right? Our anger. So it's not just murder. Anger. And then he talks about adultery. Adultery is not adultery. Oh, it is adultery. But he says it's more than that. The bar has been raised a lot. If you look at another woman or another man in a lustful way, you have committed adultery. And some of us join Jimmy Carter in that, don't we? Divorce. Only marital unfaithfulness is a reason for divorce, and to do so for any other reason causes the other to become an adulteress or an adulterer. It makes us, if we want to divorce our spouse, it puts the burden on us. Do you think about that? Many of the people I've known who've gotten a divorce, they've gone from loving to hating really quickly. It might have taken a while, but they have hate this person, and they say, I can't wait to get away from them. Have y'all ever heard say that? You've known it. If you hadn't known it, you've seen it on TV, for sure, or in the movies. But Jesus is saying, we have a responsibility to those people with whom we have been married, because we don't want them to fall into sin either. Boy, this is a little hard, isn't it? Then he speaks of oaths, about swearing. And now in the news, we hear a lot about oaths and swearing. We hear it said, well, they said that in front of a reporter, but wait till we get them under oath. But we know that people lie under oath, don't they? That's why they have perjury. He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Our speech and our actions should be so clearly the truth that no one would ever question if we were ever telling the truth. That we just don't tell the truth to judges and lawyers and people like that. We tell the truth to everybody. It's a higher standard. Then he talks about eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, we do know that many, 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 many years ago, before the Ten Commandments, there was a propensity for, if you did something like shoplifting, they might cut your hands off. Or if you did something, they might kill you, even though it wasn't that great a loss. And so an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth lets, in the Gilbert and Sullivan world, let the punishment fit the crime. But that's not what Jesus is saying. If somebody takes your coat, give them your cloak too. Whew. Well, I don't know about that one, Jesus. And then he extends the bar even higher and he says, you've heard it said to love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies. And pray, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh, Jesus. And then if that's not enough, he says, it's not just enough to do good things. You got to do it in the right way, with the right attitude, so that your right hand or your left hand doesn't know what your other hand is doing. I saw on the news the other day where some company, they knew of someone who fell on hard times, and so they helped them pay for a funeral. But as they paid for the funeral, they called the television station to make sure they did an article on them so that they would get good news. And you think, whoa, I don't know if that was what Jesus really wanted us to do, to make it so that we could get more business. We make sure our motives are right. And we hear the Lord's Prayer. By the time we get to the 13th verse of the 7th chapter, we hear these words, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And then he says, when you come to trees, We name trees by the fruit they produce. So if you see pears on a tree, it's a... If you see apples on a tree, it's a... If you see coconuts on a tree... Yeah, you know it. The fruit names a tree. If we proclaim to be Christian, but there is no fruit of us being followers of Jesus Christ, what are we? We're talking about kingdom living. Every kingdom has a king. Is Jesus just our Savior? Is he our Lord? Because if he's our Lord, this is what kingdom living looks like. It's not easy. It really is not easy. So what do we do with all of this? What do we do with the Sermon on the Mount? There's a number of views that people have used throughout history about how to look at the Sermon on the Mount. There is the absolute view, which is probably the most popular. It is, the words mean what they mean, and what Jesus said he meant, and so this is the way you need to live. Most popular way. Do I have an amen on this one? Okay. You got to live with it. Because this is the hardest one. Because Jesus lived this way. Do we know what happened to Jesus? His friends denied him. They betrayed him. They ran from him. And his own people crucified him. Kingdom living is not easy. It requires us to speak truth. It requires us to love unconditionally. And if we love in this climate of the world in which we live, if you love the wrong people, you can be the enemy. You can be hurt. You can be ostracized. To stand up for the Lordship of Jesus Christ can be painful. But that's the one we like to have. Then there is the modification view. That view is, some of you are in it. I know I've been in this camp before. We will turn our heads and we will forgive to a certain point and then we retaliate. Right? We will retaliate. Then there's the hyperbole view. And Jesus really did mean for us to do these things literally. It's just hyperbole. Then there's a general principle view that says, well, you just boil all these things down, all these three chapters, and, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then there's the general, the attitudes and not actions. These are just attitudes. We don't have to do anything. Then there is the interim ethic view. This was the view of Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer believed that Jesus told this sermon, and he believed that the kingdom of God would come in his lifetime, and when Jesus died before the kingdom came, we don't have to do it because the kingdom didn't come. And then you got Martin Luther. Martin Luther in the 1500s, he believed this was the repentance view. That the Sermon on the Mount is the standard. And we compare ourselves against the standard and we will find that we have failed miserably and just how fallen we as humanity is. We are fallen. And so the question really becomes the way we started. Does Jesus have any authority in our life? Does he? Does he have any authority? I asked you early on when we were talking about the Lord's Prayer, I asked the question, how many of you want to go to heaven? Some of you did not raise your hands. Y'all remember that? I asked who wanted to go to heaven. Most of you thought I was meaning that day. But in the Lord's Prayer, that's the thing we want to do. We want to be. We want to be. We want to be in that place where everyone treats God with respect. The name of God is holy. That His kingdom will come and His will be done in the here and now and in the not yet. And for that to happen, we've got to be people who are about the kingdom of God. All of it. In the way we treat one another, the way we love one another, even when it's hard to do. This past week, I was down in Peachtree City with the Board of Ordained Ministry. This is my first set of interviews on the Board of Ordained Ministry, and we had people come before us who want to be commissioned and eventually ordained either an elder or a deacon in the United Methodist Church. And so I've listened to a lot of answers and read a lot of answers about called and disciplined life, the practice of ministry and theology and doctrine. Remember that, Gary? Yeah, it's the most fun reading you could do. It's deep. And one of the questions we asked somewhere along in the interview, you always ask, where have you seen the kingdom of God breaking into your life? And it's sad when you hear someone say, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'm not sure what that means. Where has the rule of God, where has the God stepped into your life and spoken to you, or you experience God in a way that it brings nothing, but it's one of those Transfiguration Sundays. It's good to be here. This is good. I sense the presence. My heart is strangely warm. That's what John Wesley would say about Aldersgate. His heart was strangely warmed. It's a place that you want to be because you sense the power, the love, the grace of God like never before. Why wouldn't we want to experience that? The way we experience it is making sure that we love Jesus, that we do the things that are in the Sermon on the Mount, so that we live that life so we are always ready for God to break into our life. Have y'all heard over the past week about what has happened at Asbury? Up at Asbury Seminary? A revival has broken out. They were having a chapel service, and they called, it was over, but nobody left. And from what I can understand, from my look, I don't think they've left yet. It's still going on. People have left and come back. It was more, I think by the next day, there was more people there at the chapel than it was the night they had started. And they're still going on. The Holy Spirit has shown up in that place. The kingdom of God is breaking forth. Jesus taught like someone with authority. He taught as the Lord of their life. Because He is the Lord of their life. What would it be for us if Jesus, the Christ, truly was the Lord of our life, and we allow the Holy Spirit to break forth in our lives and in this place to do something unbelievable, miraculous, in all of us, would be changed? What would it be like? Can you dream it? Can you sense it? Do you want it? Do you? May it be so. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Break forth into our lives, into this place. May you truly rule over us. May we truly allow you to rule over us. May we be instruments of your love and your grace and your peace. May we love like you love. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, all that you've done for us, and all that you will do in the future. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.